Whether your child is enrolled or a public or a private school, they should be given equal opportunities to thrive. Children and Young People with Disability Australia, also known as CYDA, is a national body which seeks to represent children and young people who have a disability. They aim to provide children with disabilities the tools to thrive in any environment they're in. And here to have a chat with us more about the representations of disabilities in schools is CEO of the CYDA, Stephanie Gottlieb. Stephanie, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Hi, Tess. Nice to be with you.
So for children with disabilities, do they have, I guess, at the end of the day, equal opportunities to enrol and thrive in public and private schools in Australia?
Well, theoretically, yes. And I mean, let's be clear, it's actually a human right to be able to access education, and not only that, an inclusive education. So that's right. That's very true, and Australia's a signatory to the relevant conventions, United Nations conventions, so that's very true. And they're also afforded a lot of legal protections under our Disability Discrimination Act and the Standards for Disability Education. But unfortunately, what we see here is very typically poor education experiences and outcomes, where it's really common that kids with disability are discriminated against. They have real barriers in facing, in accessing equal opportunities, participating and being valued members of school communities. So, you know, there's a real tension or a real non-connect between the rights and our legislation and the actual everyday experiences of most students with disability.
And when it does come to those everyday experiences, what are some of the barriers that they do face?
Well, I think first and foremost, I have to say that we're dealing with historical, what we call ableist attitudes, where disability is really seen as an inability, you know, and something negative rather than a positive, aspect of diversity within a community. So we've got a systemic culture of low expectations. Coupled with that, we have real problems with funding, where schools are really struggling to be able to afford appropriate modifications. And we also have a lot of work to do in terms of the expertise that we can provide schools in ensuring that appropriate modifications are available and adjustments are available so kids can access their education on the same basis as everyone else.
And things like ableism can be really entrenched into a society, as you said. Oh. How do we go about trying to even, you know, begin to reverse these attitudes?
Well, good question, and I wish it was an easy answer. But I think it's really important that, we need to get really serious about this, because I think it's a real crisis for kids with disability. And as we know, education, is the foundation for life opportunities. And the experiences of kids with disability are really poor. So we need to get better education and support in for not only our schools, because there's a real want to do better in this space, but from the top down, our political leaders need to be making this a priority. You know, they've signed up to the conventions, there's legislation there, but also departments of education really need to make this a priority. Now, there's some great, certainly some great noises being made by the New South Wales Education Department at the moment, where I'm flying up next week to participate in some reform. So I'd let you know, there was I don't know if you know about it, the parliamentary inquiry recently, which was really grim in terms of the findings about poor and shameful education experiences of kids with disability. So that, really needs to lay the groundwork for some serious reform for students with disability.
I must admit, I hadn't actually heard about this inquiry. What were some of the results that came from it?
So really poor experiences in terms of discrimination, alarming rates of and reports of restraint and seclusion, lacks of expertise, lack of opportunities. We're seeing lots of kids going to school part-time, lots of kids going to homeschooling. I don't know if I just said bullying. I'm a little bit jet-lagged. I've just got back from overseas. very, very poor education experiences, which if they were happening across the board, we'd all be marching in the streets. Yeah.
And I understand as well, Victoria and Tasmania have their own associations for children with disabilities. Mm. Do you think that each state would benefit from having their own organisations to allow extra support?
Look, I think, you know, they're advocacy organisations, good advocacy organisations specifically for children with disability. What is really important is that we have advocacy. Like, there's been lots of talk in the news with the introduction of the NDIS about, and there was a big campaign in New South Wales about the need to continually fund advocacy. So advocacy is a really important tool for children with disability. So the more funding we have for that, and so I certainly welcome a specific children's organisation. There are advocacy organisations that work with children with disability and their families in New South Wales. So, you know, I want to give a nod to them, and because they do some great work, you know, family advocacy in New South Wales, and also People with Disability Australia mostly works with adults, but also does stuff with children and young people, which is really important work.
And so just before I do let you go, Stephanie, it's something that I feel, you know, we occasionally hear about but feel quite helpless listening to these stories. Is there anything that people can get involved and help out?
So it's not, I just want to be careful on how we phrase it. I mean, I know that you mean help out in terms of progressing rights.
Oh, sorry.
But, you know, it's not about helping children with disability. It's about accessing their rights. But I think it's really important that we call it, you know, and really challenge our own values about, you know, are we assuming kind of low expectations of what children with disability, how they should be accessing and participating in their education. You know, some of the really grim things that we've seen in the news, I don't know if you remember that, the kid in the cage in Canberra, you know, and some of the ones that I've dealt with, you know, where a kid's been locked in a cupboard up in Hervey Bay, you know, in all those incidents, that hasn't been hidden. From the school community. There's been a lot of people that have known that those kind of extreme cases have been happening, but, you know, it hasn't been many people that have spoken out, you know. So we really need to be, all of us, you know, whether you have a child with disability yourself or don't, we really need to be saying what's going on and demanding that kids with disability are afforded their rights. I'll just end, I know that we're limited for time, on some people get really worried that, you know, having kids with disability in their class will negatively impact on the other children with disability. That's just a myth, you know. It's just not okay. If we have funding and appropriate expertise, and what all the research says is that inclusive education is of most benefit to all children with and without disability. So that's in terms of social, communication, academic, and a whole range of outcomes. So, you know, that stuff really needs to be unpacked, and we need to challenge that ourselves and within our school communities.
It's such an important topic. Stephanie, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Great to speak with you. Have a great day.
You too. Stephanie Gottlieb there from the CYDA, that's Children and Young People with Disability Australia, having a chat about what children with disabilities do face in terms of the schooling system as part of our Education Week here on 2SER Breakfast.